Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois. For over 96 years, generations of farmers have turned to Farm Credit for their financial needs. Whether a young farmer or a seasoned grower, Farm Credit offers products and services geared specifically to the agricultural community.
Good Friday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the opening commodity market report. Pro Farmer Midwest Crop Tour Scouts yesterday announced that Iowa's corn averaged 178.8 bushels to the acre compared to the tour's 171.9 last year. USDA pegged Iowa's crop at 185 BPA in its August 1st crop production report. Minnesota's corn yield was expected to average 170.8 BPA compared to last year's 181 bushels to the acre. USDA pegged the state at 168. So far on the tour, all states' estimated yields except Iowa exceeded USDA's initial crop estimate. On soybeans, Iowa pod counts exceeded last year. They came in at 1,174. Last year's count was 927. USDA estimates that Iowa farmers will harvest an average of 50 bushels to the acre. In Minnesota, scouts estimated the pod count at 1,032 compared to 869 last year. And USDA has a yield for soybeans in Minnesota at 42 bushels to the acre. This morning, private exporters reported to USDA export sales of 120,000 metric tons of soybeans going out to China during the 2014-15 marketing year. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is 17,001. It's down 15 points. The NASDAQ, 4,044, down 3.25. And the S&P 500 is 1986. And it is down 3 points. Joining us now with a look at agricultural weather is World Weather Incorporated meteorologist Drew Lerner. Good morning, Drew.
Good morning, Dave. Hey, on top of all that, of course, the Brazilians want to plant a whole lot more soybeans. So
yes, they do.
It's a sad thing. In the meantime, it looks like the weather across the U.S. is anything but sad. Obviously, we're still looking at some continued improving conditions across the upper parts of the Midwest. You know, a week ago, we were very dry in parts of Minnesota, northeastern Iowa, portions of southwest Wisconsin and northwestern Illinois. We've been slowly whittling away at that dryness in the past week. Had a little bit of more rain yesterday occur across some of this region. There are still quite a few counties, though, in eastern Iowa that need greater amounts of rain. And for that matter, some areas in northwest and central Illinois also need some better drinking water there for some of the crops. We will be seeing more rain over the coming weeks, so we will continue to heal up some of this dryness. And the rest of the Midwest will do relatively well also. Now, there was some strong thunderstorms last night across areas outside of Chicago and some northwestern Indiana locations, and then there was several counties out there in parts of east-central sections of Indiana that got pounded as well. Each of these areas reporting some 1 to 3 inch rain, some local totals getting up to 5 and 6 inches. Pretty stormy night across some of those areas. Over this next 2 to 3 days, we will see that same corridor coming out of Wisconsin and parts of Minnesota through northern Illinois into the heart of Indiana and southwestern Ohio, picking up on additional showers and thunderstorms. There will be a daily risk of rain in these areas. Amounts on a daily basis will probably run a couple tenths of an inch to three quarters of an inch most often. But there will be that risk of some stronger storms that could produce upwards to an inch and a half of rain. In the meantime, the most active part of the Midwest weather is actually going to be in the northwestern part of the region, coming out of Nebraska and up into Minnesota. Over this next 4 to 5 days, there's going to be 2 or 3 waves of significant thunderstorm activity in that region, and we'll end up with rain totals in the 1 to 3 and local 5-inch amounts in that corridor, so it will get a little bit too wet. Fortunately, the rains don't all come at once, so flooding isn't going to be a big issue. But there is potential for some damaging wind and some hail associated with some of these thunderstorms. We'll continue to watch that area relatively closely. The southwestern part of the Corn Belt is going to be the driest area for the next several days, and they've already been somewhat that way. This would be eastern Kansas and parts of western Missouri, and then from there on into southern portions of Illinois and western Kentucky. Very little rain will occur in these areas over the next 5 days. We'll look for temperatures staying in the middle 90s across that region in the afternoons, maybe even some more upper 90s in the southwestern corner of the Corn Belt. So it will become a little bit more stressful in some of that region, especially Kansas and western Missouri, where they did not get involved with last weekend's bigger rains. The temperature bias is still going to be warm for all of the Midwest over the coming week. It's pretty humid out there this morning. If you haven't been outside yet, it's going to be pretty sticky today. Temperatures are in the 70s in the northern and two-thirds of the Midwest, and a few temperatures already over 80 degrees in the southwest at this hour. The humidity will stay high, and we will have temperatures holding mostly in the 80s and lower 90s through a big part of the Midwest over the weekend. Some readings in the southwestern Corn Belt, though, will be middle and upper 90s on a frequent basis. By the time we get to the early to middle part of next week, a significant cool-off will occur in the northwestern parts of the Corn Belt. Some of those areas may only be in the 60s and 70s at midweek next week. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Support for agricultural weather comes from Busey. Busey and its associates remain committed to lending a helping hand, with contributions of more than $1 million and countless volunteer hours each year to better the communities where we live and work. Busey, your dream, our promise.
Let's see how futures are currently trading. Hard red winter September wheat is 633, up 11. Soft September is 554, up 7 and 3 quarters. September corn, 365, up 2 and 3 quarters. December, 371 and a quarter, up 2 and a quarter. July, 398 and a half, up 2. September soybeans are 1150 and a quarter, up 14. November, 1041, up 2 and 3 quarters. September soybean meal is 425.20, up $11.40. September soybean oil, 32.60, down 18. August live cattle, 150, up 35. August feeders, 216.05, up 85. And October lean hogs are 94.32.5, and they are up 70. Joining us on the phone to talk about the markets is Bill Mayer of Strategic Farm Marketing, and he is in Champaign, Illinois. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Dave.
Well, we threw everything that we can throw at the corn market. I cannot imagine what we could possibly really throw at this market that would be a bearish influence between now and the October report. I think September's report might be largely negated by the effect that we're going to have reduced acres, and that won't come out until October. And the market hasn't broken. So could we begin to think about maybe we're having it a pre-harvest low?
Well, I think we definitely can say that we probably have our pre-harvest low in here. Now, you know, what happens in October when we really start getting the crop in, I don't guess I'm ready to go ahead and say that at this point. I think we could have a lot of pressure on the market because of the logistics and stuff. But, the two big things out here today, I think, are the ProFarmer Tour, which everybody's kind of looking at the numbers there. I like to look at percentages, we're about 5.5% above last year on the USDA number in August. I don't think that's probably enough. It'll probably go up in September, but I'm not sure that's not already anticipated. I agree with you on that, Dave. The other thing is, it's been kind of a surprise this week, and I think holds the corn together, is this old crop basis has just gone kind of wild here
Yes. This
week. And I would encourage anybody that is still sitting out there with some old corn to maybe get some kind of offer in front of their buyer to, see what they might be able to go to, because there's some pretty good pushes going on.
And for the three people that are in the sound of my voice with old crop soybeans, the same story. It is on fire.
Yeah, there's really doesn't seem to be any top to the old crop bean basis here right now. And, we're sitting here right now with quite a while before we're going to start seeing a lot of new crop beans come in, even in the south. Now, in the corn, we will see some corn start to pick up aggressively, I think, in the Mid-South, in the next 10 days or so. So don't overextend this. I think that once they can see that they're can get to the new crop, then they're going to, you know, back off pretty quick. We've seen that in the past.
Where do you think this crop coming off the fields down south in corn is going to get sourced to?
I think that it's probably going to be kind of split. I think you're going to see some coming up into the domestic processor in the, you know, central part of the country. But the problem with that, and I think part of what we're seeing this week, is the freight problem is just not allowing that. So I think a lot of it's probably going to head down to replace some of the central Corn Belt export business.
Thank you, Bill.
Thank you, Dave.
Bill Mayer of Strategic Farm Marketing, and he is in Champaign, Illinois. Current tick in the marketplace, September corn is 365 up 2 3/4. December, 371 and a quarter up 2 1/4. September soybeans, 1148 and a quarter up 12. November, 1039, now 38 3/4, and it's up a half. September soybean meal is $424.50, up $10.70. September soybean oil is $32.60, down $17. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL, 580 AM and 90.9 FM, HD3 Urbana. It's now 9:01 Central Time.